Hello, welcome to Chapter 3 of Marketing 110. This is a fairly simple chapter. It does have some terms, but I believe if you understand the outline here, the terms will fall out pretty well. You might note here up front that there are a couple of terms that there's not a page reference for. Those will be in the course, and I'll certainly have to cover those here. In the written notes, the narrative at the beginning, I do explain those as well. Anyway, Section 1 is the introduction. And as we start down through here, the first three topics we see are terms. Note the quotes as a reminder. Customer satisfaction is simply a measure of how well the customer's expectations are met. This is not an absolute measure of how happy the customer is. It's simply a measure of how well the customer's expectations are met. If a customer has low expectations, it doesn't take much for them to be satisfied. If they have high expectations, it takes a lot for them to be satisfied. In the classroom discussion, we would spend some time discussing that and the implications. Among others, that means that to increase customer satisfaction, you can either make the product better or you can lower the customer expectations. The second topic, customer services. This also is a term. Customer services are anything we do to increase customer satisfaction, which means lowering expectations or increasing the product or the happiness of the customer in other ways. Market segmentation, breaking the market down into parts so that I can identify one of those parts to aim at it as my target market. There are several ways we can do that. The most notable three I've listed here is the basis for segmentation. The text talks to these, but he never quite did that clearly, in my opinion, so I made the reference notes. The answers to the question, and you will be asked the question, name the three bases for segmentation, are demographics, psychographics, and geographics. Further along, we'll talk to those terms a little bit, but we might as well get them out of the way here, since these are the two terms without page references. Demographics are characteristics that describe who people are. That who they are is important. This would be things like their age, height, weight, gender, education levels, race, facts about people. Things that we can use to tell this person from that person. Psychographics tells how people are, how they think and act. These are those kind of characteristics. So my target market may be males from 18 to 22, or that would be demographics, or my target market may be people that drink beer. That would be psychographics. Finally, my target market may be geographic kind of thing, which means where they are. My target market may be people in Florence County. More likely, my target market would be some combination of these, as in males 18 to 22 years of age that drink beer and live in Florence County. But those are the three general bases for segmenting markets. Population trends. What are some of the demographic trends? Very much something we would talk about in class, but we'd have to talk here about immigration, the shifting age groups in the population, all kinds of things that have changed. Education levels specifically of females in this country. Geographic trends. There have been some trends in that area too. People have migrated to different parts of the country at different times. Picture the manufacturing sector once upon a time up north, and then the move to the Sun Belt in the recent past. A couple of terms show up underneath that. Micro-marketing and MSA. Micro-marketing means focusing on local conditions. If I'm just focusing on a local population and what it's like here, I'm doing micro-marketing. MSA is the Census Bureau's term for a certain size area in terms of population. It stands for Metropolitan Statistical Area. Remember, like a term we did earlier, this is used by the Census Bureau. That should be all you need. Section 3, psychographics, we covered. It refers to how people think and act. There are some social trends. The book has a list on pages 81 to 83. You should read those, but you could think of your own as well, and we could discuss those if we were in the classroom. Economic trends, very similarly. The book has some I would encourage you to read through. Disposable income and discretionary income. These terms have a lot of meaning to economics, the study of economics. I want you to think of them nice and simply this way. Income minus taxes is disposable income. If you take that disposable income and you subtract your bills, your necessary living expenses, then you have discretionary income. Because now what little bit is left, you have some discretion about how to spend it. So when you subtract taxes, you get the disposable. Subtract taxes and living expenses, you have discretionary income. You have a decision about it. They will be simple. Only taxes, disposable. Taxes and living expenses, discretionary. The text did an odd thing with this next topic, the topic in Section 5. He calls it consumer behavior model. This is normally thought of as the buying process. These are the steps individuals go through to make a purchase. Very standardized kind of list. It may make a little longer test question. I'm sorry if this feels like memorization, but it's a list that you will see in other courses. It is very standardized. Probably a type A kind of question. I don't feel bad about this one at all. Name these steps. Steps, of course, means in order. Passive information gathering. That means I'm unconsciously gathering information. It's the mode we're all in all the time. We're aware of things around us, but we're not aware that we're considering buying something. And then something happens, the car hiccups, and we realize, wait, I need to think about a car. This is when we realize that we need something. We call it problem recognition. Once we realize we need something, we're no longer passively gathering information. Now we actively gather information. We consciously go out and seek information about our products, the alternatives and all, which are the next three steps to dealing with those alternatives. We have to select a group of them. Well, I'm considering a Ford, a Chevrolet, and a Toyota pickup. We evaluate them. We test drive them. We do some online research. We look at the one thing or another about them. We call that evaluating the alternatives. Then we make a decision. We select one. And it may seem a little redundant, but then we actually have to implement the purchase. So we purchase it. We buy it. Are we through with the process? No. When we buy something, we're always ongoingly evaluating our process, our buying process. Did we do a good job? Are we satisfied with it? Was it something we missed when we were evaluating them? Was there an alternative we didn't consider that we should have? So we call all that post-purchase evaluation. It is a list you should certainly understand, and you will have 8 points on the test for it. And I think that covers the outline. If we go down the term list, I believe you'll find we covered most of the terms. Let's hit them, well, a couple here that need some further explanation. Customer satisfaction refers to how well a customer's expectations are met. Customer service is anything we do to improve customer satisfaction. Market segmentation, breaking the set of potential customers down into smaller groups. Demographics, characteristics that describe who people are. And while we're doing that one, let's jump down to psychographics. These are characteristics that describe how people think and act. Micro-marketing, focusing on local conditions. MSA is a certain region based on a certain amount of population as defined by the Census Bureau. Disposable income is income minus taxes. Discretionary income is income minus taxes and bills, you know, necessary expenses. Stimulus, cue, and drive. I want you to be careful with these. We don't want to make these words tougher than necessary. So think about them this way. They're all things that might motivate us to act or create a response in us. What I want you to think of is if it's internal or external, we call it a stimulus. Anything that causes us that may motivate us is a stimulus. Now, the types of stimulus we have are cues and drives. A cue is an external stimulus, and a drive is an internal stimulus. So it should be simply that simple. Think of cue as an external thing, something from the external environment. A drive is an internal thing. And a stimulus is either from the internal or external. In other words, a cue or a drive that can motivate us. Passive information gathering, unconsciously gathering information. Problem recognition, that's the realization that we need something. Active information gathering is consciously gathering information. And attributes are simply what they appear to be, characteristics. Usually we think of attributes as characteristics of a product. But it could be characteristics of our business, of our store, whatever. And with that, you should be in very good shape for Chapter 3. Thank you very much.